Good morning, everyone. This is March 19th, and we're doing our lesson. We're recording our lesson for today. It is a continuation of last week's lesson, which was on the revelation that was given to Brother Mauricio in March of 2020. And so we're going to continue with that. We are starting with verse 10. And what we're doing with this, instead of just going through and reading each individual verse, because I think we've done a lot of that, is that whoever is chosen to do that verse, we would like them to pull out from that verse what they feel is important to them or important to the revelation, or basically what is that verse saying. And so that's what we're doing with this time. And we're going to start with verse 10. It does discuss the parable of the traveler. I'm going to go ahead and see if I can share this screen. There. Can everybody read that? Do I need to make it bigger?
That's good.
Okay.
If you can make it a little bigger, that would be helpful.
So it does not say where I can make it bigger. Wait, try this. Oops, sorry, that didn't work.
Those three little dots in the top right, I think, will give you a zoom option.
Oh, there they are. They're hiding behind. Yes.
There we go.
Is that a little bigger?
Sure.
Okay, there. Okay, there we go. Who would like to start with verse 10?
You could also make that full screen. Click on that box up in there.
Then I hide you guys.
No, you don't.
Oh, okay, good. Okay, but now you can't see it.
That works good.
Yeah, good. Okay. Nobody can read that, though. Okay, we're going to just have to do this.
That works good. Leave it just like that.
All right. Okay.
Oh, why did you reduce it?
Well, because the written part is behind your camera pictures.
Oh, not for me, but I guess maybe some people are.
Okay. Well, let me just see if I need, if maybe I can make it bigger. Let's try that. Okay. Okay, who would like to do verse 10? What is it that you think is important? No, I made it too big. Do you
Can
all
you drag down the bottom? Can you drag down that bottom line? Yeah, drag that down a little, and then it might fit more of it.
There you go. That's good.
Well, can everybody see behind the, can everybody see the whole thing?
I can't. I know there's a way to move these pictures, but right now I don't know how to do that.
Okay. All right. Well, let's just go with that. And I'll try and pull the screen down. This is just a long verse.
Lisa, okay. I set my view to standard and it puts the pictures on the top so I can see the whole screen.
Okay, I'll try that. Thank you. I like this parable because it kind of says you don't have to know everything all at once. Just start on the path, you know, just get out there. for the traveler. It says, who on leaving before dawn cannot see anything on his way because of the darkness until the sun rises on the horizon. And as it appears, begins to eliminate the shadows that obscure your vision until the sun reaches its fullness in the sky. So I think that's happening definitely with me and probably with a lot of us, is we've started on that path where that traveler, that, things are kind of dark and hazy right now. But the more we learn, the more truth we come upon through different records and things like that, the more light is shining in our lives. And then eventually we'll have that fullness, the fullness of the gospel. And we won't have to be in darkness anymore. I mean, it seems like almost every day I'm learning something that's bringing me more light. So I like this parable.
Yes.
Thank you, Lisa. That was beautiful.
The last part there, where it says, only those who do not want to see the light that shines will remain in the darkness. I think that's pretty powerful. It's a choice. And all we have to do is ask that that we're presented with information and that we want to continue to learn, and then the light will grow. And I think that's just powerful.
Jean, on that point, it appears to be, I'm encountering in my work, my professional work, people who are fearful, becoming more and more fearful as things become more destabilized, both in almost all aspects of life. I think Lisa sort of touched on that. But I believe this verse is the idea that you are focusing on the light and the outcomes that are in front of us, rather than being caught and dragged down by fear and other debilitating emotions, and that this actually will energize you and help you to overcome obstacles as you stay in that positive state of mind and receive that light energy into your soul.
Very good point. Light energy. Yes. Yes, because we're striving to get closer to the Lord and not be taken down by the human aspect of stuff. Okay. Verse 11 is one sentence. Who would like to do that one?
I can do it.
Okay.
And who among my people can say that they have never had access to or obtained knowledge of this record? I guess if you're among the people, then you've had access to that knowledge. Mm-hmm. I don't have anything else.
In some paper somewhere we read, and I think it was something that Moroni gave to us, but I'm not sure because I haven't been able to find it, but it's talking about each of the three, you know, the LDS church and the Temple Lot church and the other church, what their purposes were. And they had said that the purpose of the LDS church was to spread the gospel, the Book of Mormon, take it to all the areas. And so I think of that when I look at this verse. It's like the Lord has tried to provide a way that everybody will have opportunity to hear. And so it becomes very obvious why he's done that. And why now that it's been done, that the LDS church is completed its purpose or something and has fallen into apostasy. But yes, he is not going to do anything unless, and there's that other verse, what is that in Amos 3:6, I think, that says, 3:7, thank you. That everyone is going to have knowledge given by the prophets.
Actually, that's not what that verse says, but that's the way it's always used.
Oh, but it's the only verse I know. Okay. All right.
Can you guys hear me?
Yes.
Can't. Yeah. So it's really interesting that you brought that up, because I was wanting to pose this question to all of you. So I think I've mentioned that I met this man, Richard, who he feels a lot the same that we do. He's been in these different remnant groups, you know, and then some of them have like gone off the track in his opinion. And he has read quite a bit of Denver Snuffer's writings, and he met John Pratt. So, but we were discussing last night, and I wanted to get your guys' thoughts, like, how come the LDS Church has not translated the Book of Mormon into Hebrew? Because, I mean, in the very beginning, I mean, the gospel is for the Jews and the Gentiles. I mean, it says it right in the beginning, right?
Because they can't. They're not allowed to, because they're Jerusalem Center.
Yeah, that's exactly what he pointed out. And it's mind-blowing to me that that was, again, they love their buildings more than they love the gospel or the poor, right? Because I had never been exposed to that whole thing. But anyway, he's aware of a group in Idaho that is paying. They've gathered money and they've paid some, you know, scholars that are translating the Book of Mormon into Hebrew. And anyway, so Richard has been studying that, and currently from his research, there's 30,000 Jews now in Israel that believe in Christ. They believe he's the Messiah. So it's pretty fascinating to see that the Lord is doing his work, right? In all these different ways. So anyway, I just thought that was an interesting thing to ponder, how that's happening. And if Mauricio or the second invitation, if we have any thoughts on that, about how we are going to help the Jews know of the Messiah, right? If you guys have any thoughts on that, I'd love to hear it. Thanks.
There's a group that I follow called One for Israel. I don't know if you've heard of them, but it's the Jews basically coming to their Messiah, and it's spreading like wildfire. So, you know, I'm not surprised that there's, you know, 30,000 or however many you said in Israel alone that are starting to believe. And then regarding the translation, I don't know, you've probably heard of the book, The Stick of Joseph, which is a Hebrew, I guess it's not translated into Hebrew, but I believe it's Denver Snuffer's group that put it out, The Stick of Joseph, which is basically retranslating it into English as if it were coming from Hebrew. I've got the book, but I haven't read it yet. But it's interesting that, you know, the Book of Mormon, it's not just for one religious institution, as it were, right? The Book of Mormon is for the whole world, Jew and Gentile, you know, all the house of Israel. It's for all of us.
Yeah, it's exciting to see that it is. I mean, the Lord is going to do his work regardless of how mess up we are as mankind. So can you just find that group online, Michael? One for Israel? Is it just a...
I think it's just oneforisrael.org is their website.
Okay.
They have lots of really cool videos on YouTube, testimonies and podcasts and stuff. It's a really awesome organization.
Awesome. Yeah.
Yeah, I think
I want to go to Israel. Anybody interested in going?
Yeah, I've been, and it's fun to do that.
Okay.
I think it is interesting that the Book of Mormon is written to the remnant, is written to the Lamanites, who are remnant of the house of Israel, to the Jew and the Gentile. It's written to those three groups, and we're the Gentiles. We haven't done a very good job of taking it to the Jews. I think that's very true, and it is neat to see those efforts outside of what the LDS Church has not allowed themselves to do.
Right.
Yeah, Richard was saying that his sister went there, and he knows several people that went there to the Israel Center back in, you know, their college days, and they had to literally sign a document when they were at BYU Israel saying that they would not proselyte, which is just like mind blowing. Anyway.
Well, there's going to be a change in people's hearts. Like Bill had said that he's meeting a lot of people who are afraid and have a lot of fear of what is coming. And they're going to, people are going to reach out and be asking more about the Lord, I believe. Anyway, I feel that way. Let's go on. 12, I think this is a interesting, very interesting of what the Lord describes the internet to be. He says it's his power. And when you think about it, certainly these particles and the magnetic fields, all of this was created when the earth and the solar, when the universe was created. We didn't create the magnetic fields. We didn't move these particles around. So of course it's his power, and it's very interesting how the internet came about at this time in our lives. Cell phones, everything that we have access to. So I just think it's really interesting how they were able to put all of this together. Anything else?
Gene, can I make a quick comment on this idea of these records and coming forth? What came to my mind was the closing of Second Nephi. It says, and you that will not partake of the goodness of God and respect the words of the Jews, and also my words, and the words which shall proceed forth out of the mouth of the Lamb of God, behold, I bid you all an everlasting farewell, for these things shall condemn you at the last day. For what I seal on earth shall be brought against you at the judgment bar. And thus hath the Lord commanded me, and I must obey. Amen. So to that point of the earlier verse there, how can you say, my people have not had access to these words? So somehow, either through the Spirit or other ways, other mechanisms, people who are seeking knowledge will be able to come in contact with these records, because or they couldn't be judged. They couldn't be judged for it. That wouldn't be appropriate for them to be judged on something that they were not aware of. So that's it's just an interesting condition there, that when he says that they never had access or obtain knowledge of this record.
Which a lot of it is coming to us through the internet. I mean, just think of all of the scriptures, the Nemaha records and the Menantah records, and just this one here, which is by Ank.
Yep.
That one. Yep. Those are, you know, the records from the islands. It's out there, and the Lord says it's out there, and everyone will have a chance to find them. So, yes.
Similar to Michael's work and his study of all these records and how they're interrelated.
Right, right.
Yeah, if I could make a comment, this verse has kind of perplexed me too, because you know, I know my own personality. I like to search and research, but I mean, all my friends, you know, family, coworkers, I don't think that they're actively looking for this, right? And so it's almost like, how are they supposed to know if they're not even looking to begin with, right? Even though, you know, the verse says, how can you claim that you're not aware of this work or word? I don't know. I mean, just from the LDS church perspective, you know, there's 16 million members worldwide. I don't know that they're looking for this, right? It hasn't even dawned on them. It's like the verse in I think it's verse 44 in the sealed book. I think it's Moroni. You know, a light from distant lands will shine from afar on the holy people of God with the opening of this first seal. The light is shining, but the people don't perceive it, as it were. I don't know. That's just, it's kind of perplexed me. And these things take time, you know. In Joseph Smith's lifetime, I think in the 20 years that he, from the time he restored the church to the earth, to his martyrdom, you know, he gathered 20,000 saints, and that was it, you know, in 20 years. So I don't know. These things take time to get rolling, I guess. Mm-hmm. So anyway.
Well, and that.
Go ahead.
I was just going to say that's just, yeah, I mean, people are just sheeple and they're creatures of habit. And, you know, we all tend to be lazy, including myself, you know? And so, like, the way that, I mean, I recently have had some discussions with friends that are around my age, and they're realizing that things are wrong, and, you know, with the LDS, and they're wanting to pull away, but they're so they just want to throw everything out. You know what I mean? Like completely. And then I've asked them, well, okay, I agree with these things are wrong, but what about the Book of Mormon? You know, and it's been pretty mind blowing to find out that a lot of them have not even read the Book of Mormon. You know, they've a couple of them have admitted to me that they've, you know, they're in their late 30s to 50s, and they've lived this religion their whole life, but they haven't really ever read the Book of Mormon. So it's just like, wow, you know. So why, you know, it's not surprising that they're not seeking other things when they haven't even read what's been before them, you know.
That is sad, and it is sad that the number of people who, when they find problems, they want to get rid of just all religion, and that is sad.
Mm-hmm. You just want to throw completely everything out. But yeah, really quick on in verse 10, I can't see it on my screen right now. Can you guys tell me what the DNC verses are in verse 10?
DNC 45.
45, okay.
Verse 35 through 36.
Okay, thank you.
Okay. Let's not lose sight of what the Lord has told us, that if we do our part in presenting the idea or the knowledge, that the Lord is going to work with them. Remember that all of us have the Spirit of God within us, even if it's buried really deep. And as these calamities come forth, so verse 13 and verse 14, they're talking about these things that are coming forth. And so right now, yes, Suzanne, what you said, this is verse 13. You know, they're far from them. They go through the motions, and they're not understanding what they're doing wrong and why they don't have a better feeling about who God is, because they haven't put it into their hearts. And 14 is saying that we, you know, he says, my people will know that I'm not in there. So they're searching, they're looking, but the Lord still is going to do his part. He's not given up on us. And I think that as these things come, it's sad that we may have to wait for this to happen before people actually wake up, but they're going to wake up. And they're going to have a lot of hard times because they don't have the time under their belts of searching and learning that we've been given right now. And it's going to be our chore. I think that's why Moroni, you know, said we were the elect. It's our chore to be there to help them to pull from their hearts that knowledge of the Spirit of God, that the veil is going to thin out, and they'll have more of a chance. I don't know that I'm saying all that right, but that's what I feel. Don't lose sight of what the Lord's power is still bringing to us.
Great point, Jeannie. Thanks.
Let's go ahead and move on. This is a long document, so maybe let's go to 15. Anybody would like to do that one? You think it was appropriate of Jesus to do it the way he did? An overpowering sign, what could that be? I mean, he knows that we're stumbling here. He knows that our reaction is slow.
What is the overpowering sign? I have an idea, but what are...
Is it the sealed book?
That's what I was thinking.
Is it the appearance?
Bob, of- Michael, Lisa?
Well, I'm wondering...
Bueller? Bueller? Hello? Bueller?
Maybe it's... maybe the overpowering sign is... the sickness that it was talking about up ahead. I don't know, maybe it just kind of started to wake people up a little. Maybe that's
that could be something that we still haven't seen, or just the recent pandemic that put us all into a whirlwind.
Maybe if I could just comment, I think that while it may be referenced to some specific event, I think the records are pretty clear that the kingdoms of this world will be shaken to their very foundation and will tumble to the earth and become as dust. And people who have put their security, built their lives around these systems, these governments or, you know, institutions, which are not founded upon the principles of the consecration and the laws of the Lord, these things must of their own weight collapse. Mm-hmm. And so these are the things I see that are going to cause the Great Awakening. Holy cow. You know, they go to the grocery store and there isn't any food there anymore. Aha, it is going to be an awakening. And I think the more prepared you are and not hearkening unto the records that have warned you. We looked at Isaiah. He has warned you. He commanded us to study diligently the revelations of Isaiah. And he makes it very clear. And then also in the Book of Mormon and the other records we had, even a Christ's Sermon on the Mount and his warnings in Matthew 24, you better seek diligently. You better knock. You better find out. Because you need to know these things. If you're not, if you don't, you'll be deceived. So we have these warnings out there. So it's just a matter of every individual working through their evolutionary process as they gain knowledge and come further into the light, as they emerge into the light. It's just people are going to take different paths. And I was kind of a rebellious kid, and so I had my dad had to use the blue belt to help me to see the path sometimes. And sometimes I think that in God's mercy, some people they'll need a tougher kind of experience to wake them up, you know, to the reality of things.
Bill, that's kind of what 16 says. Let's look at 16 too.
I'd like to do 16, 17, and 18 all up together.
Okay.
That's all right. I think 16 is really interesting, the way it brings out that pride is the real problem here. And then he talks about the health is, and it applies it to a virus, affirming that when you try to think you're spiritually healthy, when in fact you're not, It's like overcoming a virus among the people of my church in these last days, which will annihilate and decimate you spiritually. Mm-hmm. Do not listen to the Redeemer. And by refusing to read the words of this ancient sealed book, it's now come. That's the cure. And yet we don't take the cure. We just stay in our darkness. And he goes on in verse 17. I speak to you through this revelation. I'm Jesus Christ. It's just like when they surrounded Jerusalem and then they pull back. When you see that happening, he's telling us, don't think your things are all over. You need to be aware. And thus in 18, thus a year has passed it. And again, my people have been slow to heed the voice of the Lord their God. Therefore, the Lord their God will be slow to answer your prayers the day of your tribulation. And so it talks about, you know, more times even passed since then. And so the spiritual sickness that's around us is pervasive. Mm-hmm. And we need to wake up.
Yes. So there's two kinds of people. We've said this. I just want to point this out. The parable of Cain and Abel, and we add to it the broken heart and contrite spirit. This is the Lord wants us to have a broken heart, be his little children and come to him and understand, you know, what he's telling us. And back up there when it says that where people are refusing to read the words. So which category are they in and which category are we in? Cain, the difference between Cain and Abel. Abel gave the intent of his heart and the understanding of his creator. It was everything he was. When he gave his when he gave his sacrifice to the Lord, it was everything that Abel had, and he gave it with his heart. But Cain, he offered his fruits, and to him they were like tokens. He wanted to buy Heavenly Father's approval because he was obedient. He was doing everything he was supposed to do. He was doing the sacrifice. He brought forth the first fruits. And he figured that was all he did. But Abel gave with his heart. And that's the difference. If we're not coming and understanding this with our hearts, having a contrite spirit and a broken heart, then we are in the category where we've refused to read the book, the sealed book. We're just saying, oh yeah, I got it. Just like those that are saying they read the Book of Mormon and they're not doing that. And I think that, I think we need to be awake. We need to come to the Lord with our heart.
It starts in the heart and ends in the heart.
Ooh. Right.
Well, the problem with Cain was that he wanted to do his own way. A sacrifice of the first for the fruits did not foretell the great and last sacrifice. And so it couldn't be given in faith because it was the wrong path.
And we see that today. We see that. And a lot of us are in that category where, okay, we're going to have some desolation, but we're going to be okay, you know? And then when the second destruction comes, it's going to be too late. Everything that Bill is doing up in Oregon, everything that Mauricio is asking us to do in Brazil, the gathering of the churches together, we need to pay attention to this. Verse 18, it says, my people have been slow to heed the voice of the Lord their God. Therefore, I, the Lord your God, will be slow to answer your prayers in the day of your tribulations. What does that mean? See, to me, it means the wicked have to be dealt with, and the Lord will do that. But if we've been slow to listen to him, and we're in the midst of the wicked, when he comes to deal with the wicked, we're going to be there. We're going to have to go through some of that stuff. whether we want to do or not, whether we think we should or not, you know, whether we want to say to the Lord, take us out of here. He's going to be slow because his plan still has to be in process. He still has to deal with the wicked. And 19, what is that one? Who would like to look at that one? Again, it talks about vanity and pride.
I can read.
Balkia, hi. We're doing hi, welcome. We're doing thoughts about each verse.
Yes, I understand.
Okay.
I was still thinking about Cain a little bit because it was also the sacrifice was not accepted because of the feelings in his heart. Mm-hmm. Suzanne said, it begins with the heart, ends with the heart. So interesting. But shall I read 20?
You can go to 20.
But how long in the day of your peace will my people treat my counsel lightly? Do you not know that by the mouth of two or three witnesses, my people would be under an obligation to ascertain the facts to see whether there is not truth in what is being presented to you as being more of my words? Shall I also read 21?
Okay, yes, let's go ahead and do that.
Yeah, I think they go together.
Yeah, it feels like that. This time, however, unlike what was required of my servant Joseph in the early days of the restoration, I, the Lord, required of my chosen servant, whom today you know as Mauricio Arthur Berger, to call his witnesses even before the translation would occur, so that they would testify about the veracity of the plates, because I, the Lord, in my omniscient wisdom, foresaw that due to their divergent precepts and personal interests, each one would take a different path after the translation.
And that has happened, right?
That has happened, right? Yes.
Yes.
However, nothing can invalidate the history of the second invitation, that sublime moment when together the eight original witnesses attested to the world through the confirmation of the Holy Spirit, which poured out on them on that sublime occasion, that the plates are authentic, while raising their voices with one united heart to me, Jesus Christ, just as my people should be in the fullness of times, with one heart singing, sing alleluia to the Lord.
Do the next one too.
Where are your witnesses now? It does not matter. What matters is what my chosen servant followed the pattern required by me, the Lord, just as it appears in your sacred scriptures. But ye, who claim to be my people these last days, why do ye not do the same? Why do you not use the pattern to ascertain the facts as required in your scriptures? How long will I have to call you to repentance because of your stiff necks?
Okay, that was a lot of verses they pulled together. What do we think?
Well, again, the Lord's pointing out, you know, just our weaknesses, our pride and our willingness not to, you know, to follow, to, you know, it's not taking seriously the things that the gifts that he's given us, you know.
Right.
Yeah.
How long do you think we can hide behind our human frailties? I mean, the Lord knows we're not that we're human, that we make mistakes, we need to be repentant. And he's putting it right out here for us that he says, I told you how it was going to happen. I told you to pick your witnesses. I knew the witnesses were going to fall apart. And so I put this all out for you so you could see it with kind of blatantly put it out there for us. So what is it that we're missing? Why are we not able to take what he's given to us, these patterns, and look at the facts and make a determination where we stand and what we're going to do? I mean,
by the way, not all. Oh.
No, sorry. Go ahead.
Not all the witnesses have, what? How does it say there? What does it say there? Gone another way.
Right, true. But the major
so
one
some
was,
of them are.
Was, yeah.
Joseph Frederick Smith, which I still miss his foreword in the sealed book. It was a great foreword.
Mm-hmm.
I hope he comes back and... so we can use it again.
I hope he does.
Well, it was just what I said in my prayer, you know, pleading with the Lord for myself specifically, and I think for all of us is, you know, how can we be in the world but not of the world? You know, we just,
right.
We get so distracted on a day-to-day basis of, just, you know, trying to survival, you know, working, being a parent, you know, trying to provide for yourself and the distractions of everything, you know. I mean, I think that's my biggest thing. I feel like a corner of my heart is in the right place that I want to do, but then life happens, you know. So for me, it's about me being more disciplined and focusing on no, like. And I've learned this pattern over and over. Like I've known it. If I put the Lord first, if I make him my priority first, then honestly, the rest of my day is going to go better, you know? But it's about tithing. It's tithing your day, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, that's what I'm struggling with is I've got to get back to that. Making that the priority and having the faith, but by me doing that, then the rest of things in my life are going to fall into place. Because first we need to seek the kingdom, right? That's what we've been told.
Yes. Put the Lord first. Yes. But we get tied up in trying to solve our problems ourselves. And the Lord says, bring me your problems and they will be taken care of. And just like you said, Suzanne, over and over and over, we've been taught this. What time is it? It is 10:16, guys. I think maybe we need to stop right where we're at, because I think 25 brings in a different thought. So we can continue maybe next week. Does anybody want to add anything else?
Yeah, if I can make one more quick comment.
Yes.
I apologize because you know my training and background is so different, but I just want to say that I believe the scriptures are pretty clear about the need to come out of Babylon, get out of Babylon, my people. Mm-hmm. And that is the toughest job.
Yeah.
Because I'm going to challenge this statement I've heard all my life, living in the world, but not being part of it. I'm almost like, that's not what needs to happen now. You need to get out, come out of Babylon, because it's going to collapse.
Yes.
And the Lord's warning you that this is going to happen. And it it requires a radical re-engineering of the way you think and your complete reliance on the Lord. I was dealing with some health issues. I was reaching out with all my soul saying, I'm going to put my trust in the Lord. And he will make up the difference. But we have to make the steps. We have to get out of the current paradigm, the current way of thinking. We have to look at life. When the Lord returns this earth, these governments are not going to be in place. And these systems are not going to be in place. It's going to be a new government. Thank goodness. And so it's getting on the road. Pack your bags and get on the road.
Mm-hmm. I just want to make a quick comment on that. In the world, but not out of the world, is not in the scriptures. In fact, Hugh Nibley pointed this out, that it doesn't. The scripture says, come out of the world. And you're right, Bill. What we do have to
do. Thank you, Russell. Thank you. That's exactly it. Get out. It was never intended for us. That's how I think. Don't get me started. But anyway, I think that got fooled.
No, thank you for that clarity. I mean, that's what I was trying to say, like in my own like layman's terms. Like, yeah, we have to get out of the world.
Yeah,
it has to be radical. Like, just, I mean,
yeah,
you know,
sell that BMW.
Well, I find that the more
I don't have one.
The more
I have a Jaguar, though, and my father keeps telling me to sell it every day. They are the worst to maintain. So, yeah, I need to sell it.
The more we get into the scriptures, at least for me, the more I get into the scriptures, the more I like get out of the world. And I think that's a huge key, is just staying focused on those scriptures, because they're going to teach us, and the whisperings of the Spirit are going to tell us what to do. Yeah, it's pretty cool.
Feast on the word. Feast. I know how to feast, but I'm not feasting on the right bread recently, so I need to get back to the right bread.
The scriptures bring us out of here.
But it's Russell, also practical, of course, like the question yesterday from the lesson, how are you preparing, or are you preparing? How are you preparing? Or do you want, are you waiting for someone else to prepare?
Yeah.
And that's questions that are in my mind, you know? Like, okay, yeah.
Right.
So, but each day try to do something for the building up in one way or another. But the scriptures are a huge key to strengthen our faith, the knowledge about God. Yeah, is how you call it, his secrets, the sacred secret. Yeah, but still there is a practical side, and if I think about it, it's like, okay, like leaving it all behind, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it is an option. It's what keeps me busy lately, also thinking about that and how that will be. And,
isn't that what the early saints did?
Yeah, yes, exactly.
Just saying.
Well, what Tyler said last week, when God's people move, when God moves, God's people move.
There you go. Everyone, thank you for all of your thoughts on this, and I'm going to go ahead and stop the sharing and stop the recording.